All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Keeling's Corner. It's the holiday season. It's right before the holidays. So, I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. By the time this is coming to you, this will be the last episode prior to Christmas. So, everybody, Merry Christmas. Have a happy and safe holidays. So I actually want to talk about something that's non-sports related for the first couple of minutes of the show, just to, you know, because like a big topic in the news right now. What is going on with these drones? What's going on with these drones that are over New Jersey? Apparently, they're being found in Argentina, a lot of South America. They've been found in Oregon, Washington, California, Virginia, Maryland, New York, South Carolina. It's kind of crazy what's going on and how we have no answers. So hopefully we find out some type of answers and it's on the better side of whatever it is. Hopefully it's the best case scenario. And it's nothing that's too bad. But yeah, I just wanted to spend a little time on this because this is a big topic in the news. And it is every night. I have seen the drones myself. I have pictures of them. I have videos of them. It's an interesting... It's very interesting, the world that we're living in right now where this is happening. It's pretty funny that, you know, the Mets signed Juan Soto. And now Doomsday could be among us. You know, that's a typical Met thing. But to transition into the Mets, what is going on in Queens? They signed Juan Soto, they signed Clay Holmes, and they signed Frankie Montas. So they signed three ex-Yankees, one who was a closer who they expect to get 160 innings out of, which I don't think they're going to get 160 quality innings out of Clay Holmes. He's way too wild. Okay, we've seen that in pinstripes for many years. Okay, Frankie Montas, we all know how his stint in New York went last time. Okay, he's going to be under the lights again because the Mets have Soto, and you know they're expected to be good. Even though I got news for you, if they don't make any more moves, and this is what, you know, if this is the team that, you know, Stearns goes into the year with, they're not going to be a good team. You know, they'll win 85 to 88 games. They need another bat. They need another reliever. At least one more bat, okay? You can't protect Soto with Vientos. Vientos had a great rookie season, okay? But we've seen guys go into sophomore slumps, or we've also seen guys in this very city have a great year and then fall off and never really had the same year. You know, whether I'm going to list a couple of Yankees that did it. Gary Sanchez did it for a couple of years, but his average winded up falling off. Miguel Andujar, Frazier had a good rookie season. Greg Bird, you know, there's a lot of names out there, you know, who had good rookie seasons and had nice moments in the postseason, but, you know, winded up falling off. You know, even Gleyber Torres is an average baseball player at this point, but when he hit 38 home runs and he knocked in 100 runs, you know, everyone thought that he was going to be the next Robbie Cano, and he's just not Robinson Cano. So if, you know, you're listening, Stearns, I would be a little wary about going into, you know, the season with this roster, okay? You need to add an ace, whether it's through, you know, the market of Corbin Burnes or the trade market of Luis Castillo. And I don't even think Castillo's really an ace at this point. You know, he had an average year last year. I was never a big Castillo guy. Yeah, he throws hard and he has a nice splitter. But I got to be honest with you. Luis Castillo, does he put the Mets over the top? No, I still think they would need to bring Minaya back because I don't think Castillo is 1A. I think he's 1B. And Minaya's a 2 or a 3. You know, he's not a 1. But, you know, Kodai Senga could be your 1A. Castillo could be your 1B. And then the Mets have said that they're going with a 6-man rotation, so they have to sign more starting pitchers or trade for them. But the way the Mets lineup looks right now, I mean, I don't know how the Mets are going to construct their lineup come opening day, but I would figure you would have to move Nimmo back to the leadoff spot. I mean, this is just what I would do. I don't know what they're going to do. I personally would just move Nimmo back to the leadoff spot because I feel like I need a guy that could somewhat get on base, okay, as well as, you know, bring a little bit of speed. He's not really a big base stealer, Nimmo, but, you know, he's a little bit. And I want Lindor knocking in runs. So right now, the projected Mets lineup that they have here is Lindor leading off, Soto hitting second, Vientos batting third, Nimmo batting cleanup, Marte, McNeil, Tyrone Taylor, Francisco Alvarez, and Brett Beatty. That team right there is not a World Series team, okay? It's just not. It's very top-heavy, okay? You cannot, be a World Series team with Brandon Nimmo being your number four hitter. It just can't happen. Nimmo has to lead off. If I would do Nimmo, Lindor, Soto, ideally you would re-sign Alonso and put Alonso at four. Okay, and then have Vientos hitting fifth, you know, and, you know, you fill out the rest of your team. I think Gleyber Torres is going to wind up with the Mets on, like, probably a one-year deal. So I think McNeil will get shipped out of there maybe for a starting pitcher, and I think they're going to bring in Gleyber Torres. I don't think there's going to be that big of a market for Gleyber Torres. You know, there hasn't really been that big of a market for a lot of guys. There's still a lot of players left out there. So I don't really know. I don't expect it to happen around the holidays, so I figure up until Friday, that's really it. That's all you're going to get. Maybe Saturday. After that, I don't think you'll see a couple of transactions for a little bit. Definitely not on Christmas and Christmas Eve, I would imagine. But to shift focus now to, you know, the Bronx, got to be honest, Brian Cashman, you really came out here and you shocked me. All right, you proved, as of right now, you're proving me wrong. I won't say you proved me wrong yet, but you're proving me wrong, because I thought if we didn't get Soto, you were going to just kind of roll over and, you know, concede and not put, you know, a serviceable team out there. But you told Yankee fans that they're not done and to prepare. I mean, you already went out. We talked about the 1A and the 1B. You certainly might have two. I mean, you have to have two 1As because Max Fried has the best ERA in baseball since 2020. So you have given yourself the best 1-2 punch in baseball, in my opinion, if Gerrit Cole can stay healthy. Luis Gil, who just won Rookie of the Year in the American League, is going to be your third starter. And you have Rodon, who you're paying a ton of money to, being the fourth starter. And you have Clark Schmidt, you know, who was very serviceable last year, being your fifth starter. That's a great rotation. Okay, you still have Marcus Stroman, who you could use to trade, hopefully, you know, get rid of some of that money. But you added Devin Williams into the back of a pen that desperately needed a top closer. So if Luke Weaver continues, you know, his legendary run from last year, you have a great eighth and ninth inning punch. And Cody Bellinger is a great add for just Cody Poteet. That's a great addition to this Yankee team. Okay, but it can't stop. You need Alonso or you need Bregman. You know, you need to add one to two more bats. And if you could find a way to add one or two more big bats, all right, if you told me that you were going to add Alex Bregman and Carlos Santana, that's the only way I want Carlos Santana. I don't want just Carlos Santana. Your move cannot be Carlos Santana at first and Oswaldo Cabrera at third or second. It just can't happen, okay? Now, if you told me you were going to add Alonso and you were going to roll with one of the kids at one of the corner either, you know, the hot corner or second base, then I would say okay, because that lineup would be very, very formidable. You have to figure, I mean, the Yankees need a real leadoff hitter, so it's kind of hard, but Volpe's going to be leading off, I would imagine, unless they decided to go with Bellinger, but I wouldn't. So my Yankee opening day lineup would look a little different than, well, let's see what the Yankees' projected opening day lineup is as the roster currently stands. So right now, after the Cody Bellinger trade, the projected lineup is Jazz Chisholm, Aaron Judge, Cody Bellinger, Giancarlo, Jason Dominguez, Austin Wells, Anthony Volpe, DJ LeMahieu, and either Cabrera or Peraza at third. A couple of issues with this lineup. All right, DJ LeMahieu, he just can't be a starting player on this team. I mean, it's sad because he was such a great hitter, and I've never seen somebody fall off as fast as he did, but they are going to have to upgrade at first base. All right, so I would lead off. Actually, I actually like Jazz Chisholm in the leadoff spot. I was going to say Volpe, but, you know, you could go Jazz. This is a good lineup, but what I would do is I would sign Alonso. I would put him at first, and I would have Jazz, Judge, Bellinger, Alonso, Stanton, Dominguez, Wells, Volpe, and Cabrera or Peraza playing third. I would see what Oswaldo Peraza is. I know what Cabrera is. He's not an everyday player. Okay? Give Peraza a shot. Give Peraza a shot from opening day, please. Just give him a shot. You got nothing to lose, okay? If you don't go out and sign Bregman, you have nothing to lose by giving Peraza a shot. We know what Cabrera is, okay? So I got to be honest, I'm very happy with the Yankees offseason so far. Cody Bellinger is an A-plus player. You know, he struggled after his MVP season. He struggled mightily in the COVID season. But yeah, I mean, other than that, he bounced back nicely 2 years ago and hit over 300 with over 25 homers. And last year, he was an average player. He had 18 homers and hit 260-something and knocked in, you know, I think it was like 80 runs or something like that. And that's really, you know, in Yankee Stadium, his power is definitely going to go up. He's definitely going to benefit from having the short porch in right field. And he's only 29. You know, I feel like people confuse Cody Bellinger's age sometimes. You know, they think he's like in his 30s. He's going into his age 29 season. This guy's still in his prime. Okay? And now you're putting him with, you know, back in 2017 when Judge and Bellinger first came up, you know, it was who's the best player in baseball? Judge or Bellinger? They both won MVPs. And Bellinger's actually on record saying that Altuve stole an MVP from Aaron Judge. I think Bellinger's always wanted to be a Yankee. It's coming out that Boris said that Bellinger always wanted to be a Yankee. And his father, he's following in his father's footsteps. So, you know, I expect a big year from Bellinger. I think he's going to respond to, you know, being in New York. You know, I may regret saying this, but I think Cody Bellinger is going to hit 290, hit 35 homers, and knocking close to 100 runs. And when it's all said and done, power number-wise, maybe not OBP, but power number-wise, him and Soto will not be much different this year. You heard it first here. Soto and Bellinger, when it comes to home runs and RBIs, will not be so much different. I promise you that. Okay? I'm actually going to go out and make this prediction right now. Cody Bellinger will hit more home runs than Juan Soto this year. That's my prediction. Of course, Soto's going to have a much better OBP. But when it comes to home runs, Soto is not going to hit as many as Cody Bellinger. So that's the baseball aspect of today's show. If any signing happens within the next couple of minutes, you know, we'll break it down and we'll talk to you about it. But we're gonna move on to football. Steelers, Najee Harris, what are you doing? How do you drop that ball on that pitch? Why do you keep running pitches to Najee Harris, Arthur Smith? Enough. He's not that type of runner. If you're going to pitch it to Jaylen Warren. Najee Harris is a between-the-tackles kind of guy. He likes to run you over. That's what he does. Okay? So please, stop pitching the ball to Najee Harris. And I got news for you. You do it every first down. So it's like everyone knows what's coming. That's why it doesn't go anywhere. Let Russell Wilson throw the ball down the field more. And Steelers, it's coming back to bite you in the butt. Not adding a second receiver that's really good. For one, you don't play Mike Williams. Okay. And two, we all knew this was going to happen if GP got hurt. Pickens is down, and now you have no threat in the passing game. And Mike Williams doesn't play. I don't understand the Steelers' love affair with guys like Scotty Miller and Van Jefferson. I just don't get it. They're always on the field. At least that's what it feels like. And it's so frustrating. Like, where is Mike Williams? Why isn't he playing? Don't tell me that he doesn't have the talent, because when he's in there, we see that he has it. And don't tell me that he doesn't know the playbook yet. It's been like 8 weeks since that trade has happened. So, enough of that. Get him on the field more. Hopefully Pickens is back this week. You know, everybody thought the Steelers season ended when TJ Watt went down with that injury. Everyone was saying, oh, is it an Achilles? Is it an Achilles? No, it was a low to mid ankle sprain. Okay, he's going to be just fine. He's probably going to play this week. Is he going to play every down? Probably not. Okay. I wish we weren't playing Baltimore this week, so this way I could say just rest them, but this is the Steelers season. Steelers division comes down, you know, you win this game, you win the division, you lock in pretty much the 3 seed, at least you would think. You're not going to finish any higher than that because you lost to Philly, and that terrible loss, I knew it was going to come back to bite them against Cleveland in the snowstorm. That was terrible. You know, to get to the New York teams, Woody Johnson's coming out saying that he didn't trade for Jerry Jeudy in the offseason because of his Madden rating. What is this kind of guy? Is this guy a clown or something? I mean, you're not trading for a guy because he had a low rating in Madden? I mean, that's nuts. Sell the team. You're not serious about winning. And I'm not a Jets fan, so I could care less. But if I was a fan of the Jets and I found out that my owner didn't trade, if I was a fan of the Jets and I go to games and I wasted money on that organization, okay, and I bought the food at the stadium, and I paid for parking, and I did all of that. And I found out that my owner didn't make a trade for a wide receiver because of his rating in a video game. That I would be absolutely irate. I mean, even protest until he sold the team. I mean, it's just absolutely absurd. Absolutely absurd. I've never heard of something like that. When I got the notification this morning that that happened, I thought it was a joke. Woody Johnson, come on, man. You're better than that. I know you're not a clown, but that was a clown move. All right? So please, go out there and give the Jet fans what they want. I'm friends with a lot of Jet fans, all right? They need to see better. Okay, quite frankly, they deserve better. They've been through Zach Wilson, Sam Darnold, Geno Smith, and now they're watching Darnold and Smith, you know, blossom with other teams, and it's just nuts. As for the Giants, I don't know what the heck is wrong with the Giants, man. I really don't. I don't know where to start. I don't know what the answer is for the Giants. I got to be honest with you. I guess you got to clean out the entire coaching staff and you got to fire, you know, Joe Shane, and you just got to move on. Move on, hire a new coach, hire a new GM, let them make the first overall pick in this draft if you wind up getting it. All right, let them, you know, make those decisions, because I don't think Dable or Shane are, you know, competent enough to make the pick at this point. I think they were in the beginning, and then, you know, the New York media could really do that to you. It could really mess with your head, and Dable just hasn't been the same since the team has started struggling. So, you know, it's a shame, because I think he is a great offensive-minded coach, but maybe he's just better off as a coordinator. Who knows? So it's going to be interesting to see what the Giants do, you know, in the offseason and as, you know, the season ends, quite frankly. Yeah, I mean, we watched Buffalo go into Detroit and lay a beat down on the Lions. I don't think anybody thought that was going to happen, so that's pretty interesting. Yeah, now to move on to basketball. There was a nice trade in the NBA involving the Nets. Nice trade for Golden State as they acquired Dennis Schroeder from the Nets. That's a big piece for them, as Schroeder was having a great year for the Nets. You know, the trade season opened up on Sunday because players that were signed in the offseason, they're able to be traded now. The Nets actually play a game tonight against Toronto in Toronto. Still no Cam Thomas tonight. He's not cleared for contact yet. I expect the Nets to start, you know, packing players up and shipping them out very, very soon. There's no reason to hold on to these guys and just ruin your chances of getting one of the top three picks. Yeah, I'm not going to really spend that much time on basketball. The NBA has become a joke. Way too many three-point shooters, shooting teams. All they do is shoot threes. Brian Windhorst was talking about it. The game needs to be fixed somehow. It's just nuts. And nobody cares about the regular season games anymore because so many teams make the playoffs. The Bucks won the cup. You know, congratulations to them. I don't really know what, you know, how players really hold that, you know, to a high standard or not, but I know that it's, I think it's $500,000 to everybody on the team. So, you know, the G League players, the back and forth players, you know, that's good for them. Congratulations. Happy for you. Absolutely. But yeah, this is a big week in college sports as well, as the college football playoff starts. The first, you know, it's the inaugural college football playoff season. So 12 teams made it. 4 teams got a bye. The first game is tomorrow night, actually. Notre Dame, my team, versus Indiana. Notre Dame comes into that game at home as a 7.5-point favorite. So Indiana's a very big dog. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting game. I would expect Notre Dame to, you know, have their way with Indiana and blow them out. But, I mean, Notre Dame has to blow them out. They have to make a statement. They haven't played anybody this year, really, besides A&M. They have to make a statement and blow this team out of the water. If they don't, it depends. Notre Dame just has to look dominant, okay, for me to think that they can win at all. They are supposed to have one of the top defenses in the country. If you don't play anybody, I don't know how you could possibly know that. But I do expect Notre Dame to be very, very competitive. And then if they win, or should I say when they win, they'll be playing Georgia in the second round. So that's gonna be a fun game. I don't think Georgia – there is no powerhouse team this year. Everybody thought it was Texas. It's not, clearly. They didn't even get a bye. yeah, Georgia's a very beatable team. But, you know, everyone says, you know, the big knock against Notre Dame is every time they play one of those big SEC teams, they always get blown out. Well, they're going to have their chance this year, and the SEC is definitely not, you know, as powerful as it was in years past. So there are no dominant teams. Georgia, Alabama didn't even make it. Texas didn't get a bye. We saw Georgia almost lose to Georgia Tech in like 7 overtimes, 8 overtimes, 9 overtimes, whatever it was. That's another thing. For a college football game to be decided in overtime by a 2-point conversion is absolutely absurd. Quite frankly, it's unfair to the players. I'm not a fan of the shootouts in hockey or, you know, the penalty kicks in soccer. To me, you're not deciding a game that way. I would never have a game decided that way. It's like deciding an NBA game on a free throw competition if it goes into multiple overtimes. It's absolutely nuts. These guys, they work their butts off, you know, all game just for it to be decided by the way that the game isn't even supposed to be played. It's just absolutely nuts to me. In the MLB, we saw that they were introducing a rule, like it's like the golden hitter or something like that, where depending on the situation, you could put anybody in your lineup in to make the spot, to hit in the spot. That's absolutely nuts. Thank God I don't think Manfred got it through. So that won't be coming to baseball anytime soon, thank God. And I'm going to get to my picks now for the NFL. Remember, if you want to make your picks, go to foxsportsnewjersey.com and sign up with your email today and make your picks. So we're going to start off Thursday night, which happens to be tonight. We have the Broncos and the Chargers. The Broncos are going to L.A. I'm going to say this is a pretty good matchup, actually. Two pretty good defenses going at it. A rookie quarterback against, you know, Justin Herbert, Harbaugh, Peyton. It's a pretty good game. I'm going to say the Chargers at home get it done only because they're at home. Then on December 21st, which is this Saturday, there are two games, both AFC, both pretty big games. The first one is the Chiefs and the Texans. I'm going to roll with the Texans. I think the Texans go into Kansas City and get the job done. Mahomes questionable. I think Houston gets it done. And then we have the Pittsburgh Steelers visiting the Baltimore Ravens. I'm going to roll with the Steelers. Hopefully Pickens plays. Hopefully Watt plays. And I think the Steelers are going to wind up going into Baltimore, clinching the division on Saturday. All right, moving on to the Sunday slate. Got the Browns and the Bengals. I think the Bengals are going to blow them out of the water. Dorian Thompson-Robinson is getting the start over Winston, which I think is a mistake, but... Well, actually, it's not a mistake because if they win, you know, it hurts their draft stock or whatever. So I think since he's going to roll, I don't even think it'll be a game. Giants and the Falcons. Michael Penix getting his first start. I'm going to roll with the Falcons. You got the Lions and the Bears. I think the Bears are going to come away with a win in this one at home as they almost got them in Detroit. So that's going to be a big upset. The Bears have not looked good. The Lions are going to be looking to make a statement, but it'll be interesting to see an indoor team go into Chicago in the cold and see how they react. The Titans and the Colts. I'm going to roll with the Colts. Cardinals are going to Carolina. I'm going to take the Cardinals. The Eagles are going to Washington. I'm going to take Washington. The Rams are going to New York to face the Jets. I'm going to take the Rams. The Vikings are going to Seattle. I'm going to take Seattle over the Vikings at home. The Patriots are going to Buffalo. Buffalo is going to blow them out. Jaguars are going to Vegas. I'm going to, man, this is like, this is a snooze fest here. This is a real pick'em. I'm going to say the Jaguars going to Vegas and come out with the win. Then you got the 49ers going to Miami. I'm going to say the 49ers beat Miami in Miami. Buccaneers are playing Dallas. I'm going to say the Bucs blow them out in Dallas. And then Monday night, you got the Saints and the Packers. Not a very good game. Wish it was flexed. But, I'm going to take the Packers in a blowout. All right, well, this was certainly an interesting episode. I'm glad that I was able to talk about the drones in the beginning. And, you know, hopefully everybody's aware of what's going on. And hopefully we find out some answers soon. This has been another great episode of Keeling's Corner. And Merry Christmas, everybody. And I'll talk to you again before the new year. Keeling's Corner, out.